want to continue in our doctrinal statement. And concerning the eternal purpose of God, which, which is election. And it is God's eternal, personal, and unconditional purpose in which He regenerates, sanctifies, and saves lost sinners. It excludes boasting. It takes away boasting. There's no room for boasting because it's not of man. It's all of God. Before ever man was created, before ever anything was created, we would liken it into today's world and standards by which a man is going to build a home and or a house, and he sets it down and he makes plans and draws up plans and every room that is going to be therein and every where everything is going to be laid and set in that house, in that place. It's all done before he begins any building process whatsoever. You have to know all of that before you can construct, begin to construct, before you can even dig the footer. God did that in eternity. Laid it all out. And Romans 9 tells us that He made some vessels unto honor and He made some vessels unto dishonor. He knew that all vessels would be dishonorable. But He chose some of those dishonorable vessels to bestow His honor upon. And He even laid out the plan by whereby He would bestow that honor. For Him to be just and right and holy, it had to be with a just and right and holy sacrifice. A sacrifice that was perfect, a sacrifice that was without blemish. And the only one that would fit that bill, would meet that bill, is He Himself. His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, He was sent of the Father, but He willingly came. Because He loved those people too. And He willingly came and gave His life a sacrifice for my sin, for your sin. So it takes away all boasting. And it promotes If boasting is taken away, if the pride of man is taken away, what do you have? You have humility. It promotes humility. It promotes a humble walk before the Lord our God. And when you see God doing all of this before eternity, in eternity, before He created anything, and then working it in your life, calling you to come to Christ, and giving you His Spirit to enable you to come to Christ. It not only promotes humility, but it promotes love. Love for God and love for the people of God and love for God's created ones. And when we have this love in our heart for God and for His people and for His creation, it promotes then prayer. A time when you come, as Hebrews tells us, before the throne of grace. It's of grace. It's all of grace. And you come before the throne of grace with praise and with thanksgiving unto God for what He has done. And you come before God with supplication. Supplicating on your behalf, supplicating on the behalf of others. That's why we have a prayer list. That we, our names that we are concerned about. And it's our privilege to supplicate before the Lord on their behalf. One who stands in realization and awareness of God's great plan of redemption to save his soul, to regenerate him. And he now loves God. He's moved to prayer. Moved to thank God for what God has done for him. Move to thank God for what he has. Move to praise him for what he's done. And who he is. He's my heavenly Father. Do we think that Jesus was blessed when he referenced the Father? There's a love there. And now we're sons of God. And our heart is moved with love and desire to talk to our Father, to praise him, to thank him, and to supplicate. Probably one of the greatest examples that we have of this in Scripture is David. So turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel. In chapter 7. Second Samuel in chapter 7. And verse 27. And this is David praising the Lord in prayer. He says in verse 27, he said, "For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer." Well, David had realized a great salvation of the Lord. David is an example of a man who trusted the Lord and trusted the Lord at a young age. Trusted the Lord to go up against a giant. Not only was this just any giant, this was a man of war from his youth. Didn't matter to little shepherd boy David, probably about 18 years of age at the time, for he was trusting the Lord. And now he had continued to trust the Lord. And after being anointed by Samuel of the Lord to be king in the place of Saul, he trusted the Lord for bringing that to pass. He trusted the Lord for the timing of that being brought to pass. And he would not, even though he had opportunity after opportunity to take the life of Saul, he would not touch the Lord's anointed. He trusted God to bring it to pass. He was trusting the Lord, the God of his salvation. And the Lord brought it to pass, and David becomes king and becomes a mighty warrior. And David has it in his heart to build a house unto the Lord, for the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant to come in and rest in. But God says, no. You've done well in your heart. That your heart desires to do that. Your desires are right and honorable. But your son, Solomon, he will build a house for my name. But he said, I will make of you, David, your seed, through Solomon, a great house, an everlasting house. there shall not fail to set upon the throne of David, the seed of David. And so David was moved to pray this prayer. And you read down through the prayer, and it's a prayer of praise. Thanks unto God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, in chapter 4, in verse 1. Another prayer or praise, a prayer that was to be put to music because it was written to the chief musician of Onegonoth, a psalm of David. And he again, we find him praying to the Lord. He says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." You see, what's he saying? He says, "I realize that you're my God. You're the God of my righteousness. You're the God of my salvation. It's not of me. It's of you. It's of your purpose, of your planning. And you're bringing it to pass. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." It's like he's saying, You've had mercy. You had mercy upon me when you saved my soul. And you have continued to show mercy to me. And show me now thy mercy in my distress. Can I relate with David? Can you relate with what David's saying? Why don't we go to prayer then? Why don't we pray more then? You see, is it because there's a lack of awareness of our eternal salvation? Of God, my righteousness? Turn with me to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And verse 9. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. There was no doubt in his mind that the Lord was going to receive his prayer, was going to hear his prayer, was going to answer his prayer. Listen, he's the God of my salvation. He's God my righteousness. The same God that purposed and called David to righteousness, to salvation, is the same God that purposed and called us to salvation. And how comes it moves David? And how comes do we see in Scripture so many of David's prayers? To God. Makes me think, makes me realize how little I pray, and how little substance there is to my prayer. Turn with me to chapter 42. This is at least the first couple of verses of this chapter have amazed me for years. It's called me to introspection. Most generally, every time I think of it or consider it. But Psalm 42, which starts off, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Now you have to know a little bit about deer. The heart was a deer-like animal. You have to know a little bit about deer. And then my experience as being a deer hunter, you can follow the deer's trail. And quite often, oftentimes, that deer trail will lead to different water supplies. Because the deer needs water. It panteth, it longeth for water. And you'll find it frequenting the water spot. You want a good place to set up a deer blind to hunt deer. You get near to their source of water and the trail that they use, the path. And the psalmist here says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I always have to consider, am I panting after God in this fashion, in this way? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? While others, you know, mockingly say, where's your God? And your tears are maybe saying, where's your God? When I remember these things, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. When you remember our God, the one who loved me eternally, chose me to salvation, called me unto Jesus Christ, what a great salvation. Look at verse 8. Yet, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You see, it promoted in David, it promoted in this psalmist, prayer. Does it promote prayer within my life? A remembering of what God has done for me? Does it promote prayer within your life? A remembering of what God has done for you? Chapter 55. Chapter 55. In verse 1. Another Psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. There again, because of who God was and what he'd done, we find David bowed down in prayer to the Lord. The 65th chapter. The 65th chapter in verse 2. Another song or prayer of David. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. David here said, I know you hear prayer. I know you answer prayer. You're the God of my salvation. You're God my righteousness. You've heard me in the past. You hear me. You answer my prayer. Because you care for, he said, unto thee shall all flesh come. All flesh ought to come to him in prayer. Because he is God. He is their creator. He is their sustainer. And yes, there's a day when all flesh is going to come to him. They're going to stand before him. They're going to be called in judgment before him. Chapter 66. In verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. This is a man who had realized the mercy of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, hath quickened me together with Christ. And not only did he show mercy then when he did that, he's shown mercy to me every day, every moment of every day in my life. I'm still standing here, aren't I? A fact and a manifestation that there is mercy with me. You see, and Brother Bowen and I talk about this oftentimes. And we'll, I say, you know, he'll tell me what's going on, and he says, but he says, I don't have anything to deal with it like what you deal with. He says, I just amazed. And I said, well, I'm all that you have to deal with, I don't feel like I deal with anything. But we end up saying this. I deserve so much worse. But God's merciful. God's merciful. You see, I'm a lowly sinner. But God's merciful. Oh, the mercy of God. The 86th chapter. You see, the Psalms are full of these prayers. Not only David, who, because they realize the mercy of God, that God is their righteousness. They are what they are because of God's abounding love to them. In verse 1, David says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord." Bow, you get the language? Bow down. Yeah, I'm your lowly creature. You've got to bow your ear down. Listen to me. You that are the high and exalted one, the God of my salvation, the God of my righteousness, the merciful God, bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor. In other words, I'm lowly. And I'm needy. I'm needy, not in the world's goods, not in things of the world. I'm needy in mercy. I'm needy of your continued blessings upon me. Another great prayer that we have, that you might not thought of going to, found in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Maybe you have considered it in the past. This is, of course, the prayer of Jonah, a man who, by all indications, was an Israelite. He was a child of God. He was a prophet. And he's called to go to the heathen. A heathen land. A heathen people. And to preach the word of the Lord. And of course we know that he ran from that calling. He ran from that mission, from that ministry that the Lord had called him unto. And as I reading down through this prayer of Jonah, I likened it in a lot of respects to a lost man, to one who did not know the Lord and was brought to humility to show him his vileness and his worthlessness, and cause him to cry out unto God for deliverance, but also, as fits the case with Jonah, we see here a man who knows the Lord, and he doesn't want to do what God is wanting him to do. He's not wanting to follow God's leading. We have a sophisticated term for it. Biblical term. Backsliding. Jonah backslid. And I know from experience in my life, when I am backslidden and God lets me go so far, He brings me to where He brought Jonah. It makes me to cry out to God. Forgive me. Forgive me. Let's read this prayer. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Look what he says about being in the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice. He's saying, out of the belly of the grave. I'm near to dead. I'm nearly in the grave. And he heard my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Look again. See, as one who's backslidden, he left the Lord. He left the house of God. The water compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Can you picture? I mean, the descriptive language here. You can just picture the situation that Jonah was in. And liken that to life experiences that God brings us through. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer. See, he remembered the Lord. He remembered what the Lord had done for him, had done for him, and is going to do for him. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. You see how remembrance of what God has done, who God is and what He has done, does? The only thing Jonah could do was pray. And remembrance of who God is and what He has done, what He has done should move us to pray, to promote prayer within us. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 and verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Teaching them a lesson. Jesus said, cursed the fig tree. And a few hours later, the next day, when they're passing by, the apostles were so amazed that the fig tree so soon withered up. And Jesus had said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, Mount of Olives, be thou removed many miles away. Be thou picked up, rooted up, mountain, and carried many miles away to the Mediterranean Sea over here. And it shall be done. And he said that to say all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, not doubting. Believing that not you don't possess any power to do this, but believing that God is able and God will do it because you, His faithful servant, are praying and asking Him to do it. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He chose you to salvation. And what good thing will He withhold from you, His chosen one? See how it moves to prayer? And again, the book of Luke in chapter 6 and verse 12. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, manifest in the flesh, our great example. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray. Jesus went out into a mountain to pray. Why? Because of the relationship that He had with the Father. We've just recently studied in John chapter 5. And we see the relationship that He had with the Father. They were one. They were equal. We're sons of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The same relationship that Jesus had with the Father, we can have with the Father. And Jesus goes up into a mountain and there all night in prayer. Yes, it was the eve of his calling the disciples together and choosing 12 whom he was going to name apostles. It was the beginning of his church. He started to build his church, and he's continued to build his church, and he's still continuing to build his church today. What an important time to pray. But I want us to know prayer was because of a relationship with the Father. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts in chapter 1. In verse 14, the apostles have just witnessed that great feat. Jesus being caught up into the air, away into heaven, returning to heaven from whence he came. And they've been told, "Do you go back to Jerusalem? And you tarry there until you be endued with power from on high." And what do? They go back to Jerusalem, which I'm told from where Jesus ascended up was about a Sabbath day's journey, which was a short journey. It was the most distance they were allowed to travel on a Sabbath day. In verse 14, there's the 11. They're named in the verses before that. Verse 14 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Why do you suppose these were in prayer? Because they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had told them, "You've seen the Father, you've seen me. You see me, you've seen the Father." They had a relationship with the Father. And so what was it natural for them to do? Pray. And I have asked myself so many times over the years, if it's supposed to be so natural for us to pray, why is it that I have to work so hard at being consistent and praying as I ought to pray? Is it because I'm not living in the awareness of who God is and what He has done for me? He's my Father. I'm His Son. He cares about me. He desires to hear from me. He desires that I speak with him. You see, a proper understanding of God's eternal purpose, which is election, the choosing, the regenerating, the sanctifying, and the saving of us lost sinners, promotes prayer in our life. Shall we stand together?